Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and good morning. You are listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal, and I'm here with Francis Schott. Together, we own Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach us through restaurantguysradio.com or download our podcast on iTunes.
Good morning, Mark.
Hey, Francis, how are you?
I'm well, thanks. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. Today's going to be a fun day for me.
Today, we are talking mostly about bartending, cocktails, cocktail bars, and like, but we're mostly talking about bartending, not cocktail bars. There are a couple of guys, Dushan Zarek, whom I've met. We sat on a vodka panel once with my friend Dale DeGroff. He owns with his one many partners, but he owns with Jason Cosmas, who's one of his partners.
And Jason is near and dear to me, as he is a New Brunswick guy originally.
Yeah.
And eventually made his way to Manhattan to open one of the best cocktail bars in America.
That bar is called Employees Only, but they've written a book. It's called You Didn't Hear It From Us, Two Bartenders Serve Women the Truth About Men, Making an Impression and Getting What You Want. There's some cocktail recipes in there. It's a fun book to read, but it's also about life behind the bar. And Mark and I have spent a lot of time where bartending was our primary job. And
well, even, I mean, Francis and I bartended for a lot of years before we opened our own restaurants, but even after we opened our own restaurants, we would take turns behind the bar of Stage Left Restaurant when we first opened it,
Mark,
for years.
Mark.
Yeah.
When we first opened, we took turns doing everything. I'm the plumber today. You be the electrician. Okay.
Yes, okay. I'm going to be the bouncer. You be the waiter. I'll be the...
I'm the sweeper now, and you be the polisher. So, yeah, we were bartenders, exactly what we were. You know why? Because we couldn't pay anybody else.
That's what we had to do. But I will tell you, and whether it was in my own bar or whether it was bartending behind somebody else's bar, there's no better job in the world, okay? I'm sorry to every other guy who works at every other job on the planet. There's no better job than bartending.
I agree with you. Although since we've started our cocktail program at Cafe Lombardi, there have been a few nights that I've spent behind the bar, and I have not hadn't done that in a long time, and my back hurt a lot.
And you stink at it now too.
And
what's
and
that, Francis? That's my sixth cocktail this hour. Here you go.
But it's funny. I get back there as the owner and I teach these guys how to make the cocktails, and I teach them the principles.
I can bartend for two people a day.
You're exaggerating.
Of course I am.
But I get behind the bar, and I was teaching the bartenders how to bartend, mm-hmm. and my how-to knowledge is pretty good. But coach, I am great at actual, you know, quarterback. I am not. But I could also. I could teach them the principles of how to be fast, but I got to be back there with somebody who can fill it in.
But it's not just the principles of being fast that you're teaching them. You're teaching them to interact with the customers. You're teaching them that to work with your head up. And I guess that's one of the real principles that
we talk about. I've often thought that you work with your head up. Never mind.
I want everyone to know that
there
was a time that Francis and I were friends before we started doing the show. We actually would hang out together.
Oh, Mark works with his head up, all right.
What I was saying was that before you summarily abused me.
That was a lot. I couldn't not take that.
Is that a bartender would work with their head up? And what I mean by that is looking at the patrons, looking for not only just for things that they need, not only looking to see if you can get them something they need, but to participate in the conversation. A bartender has an entree into the conversation that a waiter, frankly, doesn't have, that even a maitre d' in a restaurant doesn't have. A bartender is supposed to be part of the conversation.
And as a bartender, you're responsible for what happens in the room on a different level than anybody else. And you're in charge of the liquor, and you're in charge of the money. Okay, and that's the old adage of bartending. Mm-hmm. I remember, you know, when I was first trying to be a bartender, it's like, you're in charge of the liquor, you're in charge of the money, you're in charge of the phone. You're in charge. And, you know, one of the things that they teach bartenders, because New Brunswick used to be a rougher town than it is, and it's not mm-hmm. a rough town at all. It's a completely redeveloped downtown. It's wonderful. But, you know, when I started bartending in New Brunswick, it wasn't, you know, as nice as it is now. Well, so and it was a challenging neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And in that challenging neighborhood, they said, listen, here's the panic button.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And you have a panic button. that, you know, if you need to hit it, you hit it, but you only hit it when you need it.
But remember, when you hit that button, you're panicking.
Right.
So you need a good reason.
And there are going to be four cops who burst in here with their guns drawn in a few minutes.
I worked at a place in New Brunswick. And now, again, New Brunswick has changed tremendously. This is 1985, maybe 1986. I worked at a place in New Brunswick over by Douglas College, halfway between Douglas and Rutgers. A place that was called Todd's at the time and is no longer called Todd's. But in that place, it had panic buttons, and one of the guys I was working with mistakenly hit that panic button.
Mm.
There was a policeman pointing a shotgun at his head 45 seconds later.
Yeah, and the police really don't like when you do that by mistake. That's there to be used. That's like the 911 on steroids. Don't do that unless it's necessary.
Can I tell you how you know the neighborhood's changed?
How?
Because we do have panic buttons in the restaurant now, and if someone hits one of those panic buttons now, the police kind of come in like, everything all right here?
Yeah.
You know, so the neighborhood has changed tremendously.
Well, but back to when we first started bartending, both in different challenging neighborhoods, it was, okay, the panic button is here. This is the phone. The phone is behind the bar for a reason. The panic button is behind the bar. The money is behind the bar, and you have access to the alcohol. The way to knock over a bar, we were always taught, was to cause a distraction to get the bartender away from the phone, away from the panic button, away from the money. And what we still teach our bartenders, although, and I'll do this anywhere, any nice suburban town, wherever, as a bartender,
you stay behind a bar.
If there's a problem in the room, you're in control of the room, but if there's a problem in the back of the other room, you stay behind the bar.
You know, you see these TV shows where the bartender goes over with his baseball bat and hops over the bar and breaks up the fight, and just that's not the right move.
I will always remember one other situation at another bar in New Brunswick where a friend of mine, where Kurt, you remember Kurt?
Of course.
Went with a bunch of friends of his, our friend Joe was playing in a band, and Joe's family is from Sayreville, which is a different kind of crowd than we normally hang out at this bar, and there's this big fight that erupted between some guys who come to see the band and some regulars that were there. And the guys who came in and started the fight weren't the regulars in the bar.
They were the Montagues.
But they were the fighters, okay? They were the guys you didn't want to be fighting against. And I remember this scrawny, like, bartender pulled out this billy club from behind the bar, and one of the guys who was the fighter kind of guy grabbed the billy club out of his hand and said, "Don't ever pick up something like this unless you know how to use it. Now get back behind the bar." And I mean, yes, sir. Okay. All right, I'll do that.
And call the police quickly before somebody gets hurt.
Before one of you scrawny guys takes it. You want to call the cops. Well, anyway, gladly, those days are behind us. We haven't had anything like that happen
in
a long
time.
It's
very nice. I like working in a nice place, I have to say. It's the whole thing is very, you know, the college bars of yesteryear are no longer part of my life.
I still say bartending is a very interesting part of our society. It's a very interesting role to have. I encourage everyone, if you have the opportunity, to bartend. And I've always said that, you know, if I, you know, won $20 million and moved to a new town and didn't know anybody there, I would get a shift working at a local bar a couple of nights a week as a way to integrate myself into the town, because it's a totally unique perspective, and I really enjoy it. We're going to be talking more about this with the authors of the new book, You Didn't Hear It From Us, Two Bartenders Serve Women, The Truth About Men, Making an Impression and Getting What You Want, by Dushan Zarek and Jason Cosmos, the owners of Employees Only in Manhattan. And then maybe tonight we'll go for a drink at Employees Only.
Sounds awesome.
They're open until 4 a.m., 6 p.m. to 4 a.m., 7 nights a week. I don't know how they do it. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:15. Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. Mark and Francis of Stage Left and Captain Lombardi Restaurants in downtown New Brunswick, New Jersey. Our guests today are Dushan Zarek and Jason Cosmos. They own one of the best cocktail bars in New York City. You've heard us talk about their bar, Employees Only, on this show in the past. Well, now they've written a book. It's called You Didn't Hear It From Us, Two Bartenders Serve Women, The Truth About Men, Making an Impression and Getting What You Want. Full of not cocktail recipes only, but bartender wisdom as well.
Dushan and Jason, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you.
Hello.
You know, the book, very interesting. Happy to see you guys had written a book. Mark and I have been inspired by you. We're now starting on our own. Mark's got the intro written, and I'm doing the cover art. So several years from now, you'll see a finished product. Now, I love that it's the perspective of a bartender, and I think still the favorite job I ever had and occasionally ever have is working behind the bar.
The best 10 years of my life are the 10 years that I spent working behind a bar.
Now, you took this book, and there's a lot of bartender wisdom, but part of it is making an impression and serving women the truth about men. And it's not really a pickup book, but one of the things you talk about is how, you know, how women can make an impression on men in a bar. Shouldn't this book be the other way around?
You mean as far as for being for guys?
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's just being a guy and all, but I mean, it's how does a man? Isn't the man that usually approaches the woman? I mean, why did you decide to write a book talking to women about how to work with men in a bar?
Well, you know, it didn't make much sense for us to write a book for men for two reasons, for actually three reasons, but the third one is not that much important. I mean, the first reason is we don't possibly. No, I mean, we have no idea what is it that women want, right?
Okay.
So if I go out there and start telling guys, look, man, you have no idea how it's done. Whatever you are doing here is wrong. You got to be quieter. You got to be more humble. You got to be more gentleman. You know, that's not going to really fly with the guys because I don't really know what is it that women want. Because
you're not a chick.
Exactly.
I got it.
And it's like men with directions, you know? Like, when you're lost, you're like, you don't ask for directions.
Right.
I got a GPS, so I would never have to ask again.
Yeah, right? You don't have any men are lost.
There are guys still lost looking for the directions to the GPS store. Now, I think that one of... Let's look at the larger aspect of this book. I mean, I think that one of the interesting things that I talk about, when we talk about cocktails all the time, we've had Audrey on the show and Dale
Audrey
on the
Saunders
show.
Audrey Saunders from Pegger Club and Dale DeGroff.
And what this book talks about is sort of a unique perspective that a bartender has on social interaction. Are you, I mean, don't you think the bartender's sort of spectating on the lives of the people that we serve?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, the whole microcosm of the bar is a hyper reality. Everything happens much quicker than it does in life, and you see so many interactions because the windows of opportunity are really, really small. So people just go nuts, and like they, you know, you throw alcohol into it, and they're just all over the place.
Yeah, and then you know, like if looking from the bartender's eyes, you know, we find ourselves to be in a place where we can objectively observe whatever is going on 2 feet away from us. It's kind of like being in a movie, but not of it.
Yeah,
like
I think
you're playing your part, you're doing all the things that you need to do, but you're not really there 100%. I mean, with your emotions, you're not there. With your presence, you're there, but you're not internally completely there because it's not valid for you. You're there to make money. Your reality is different.
Well, I also think that people will kind of, I don't want to say ignore the bartender, but... will say
you're
things.
Like a non-person.
They'll say things to their guest or to the person they're talking to directly in
as
front of
them. As if you're not there.
As if you're not there, and
you have
an observation, a vantage point that people don't really get of other people.
That's right. The bartenders put themselves are found to be in this place where they have this relationship towards their customers, kind of the lawyers with their clients. It is understood that we won't give away what we hear. It's some kind of a
confidentiality. Yeah,
exactly.
So that's why you didn't write the book with pictures of the customers and indices pointing to the various.
That's why there was no names mentioned.
We wanted to,
but the editor said something to say about
it. don't those people know that the bartenders talk to other bartenders about them? You know, do that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think where this book really began is the fact that anytime you have a few bartenders that finish their shift, what do? They sit down, they talk about their night, and they erase the blackboard, as we call it. Like, by talking about all the things that happened, you sort of, like, free it from your soul, and tomorrow's a new day. You know what I mean?
You know, but I also think, I think your book speaks to, and your bar is really a serious cocktail place, but it speaks to the position, and I think that this wasn't had for a long time, or was fading for a long time, and is returning, but it's the bartender's sort of position in the social... milieu, you know, to sort of be there but not there, to sort of facilitate the interaction of people. Do you think a bartender's role is to facilitate interaction among your patrons sometimes?
No, absolutely. Especially when you're working in the bar, you become sort of the MC. The way you deal with people either keeps people in or, you know, keeps people around or sometimes gets people to leave that are problems. You can get people talking to one another just by the way where you put their drink. It's really like playing chess. You want to manipulate the situation by changing the energies and moving the people around.
And sometimes you want to be thinking three moves ahead.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, when we teach people how to bartend, we not only teach them the techniques and the recipes and, you know, all the fine stuff that you need to know how to make cocktails and so on. We also tell them that people don't really come out because the drinks are so good. They think they come out because the drinks are great or the food is great or whatever. But what they're really going out for is the possibility that something might happen to them. And this is what we are selling. And
we're gonna leave it there for one moment, Dusan. We're gonna come back and talk more about why people actually go out for a drink despite why they think it and how the bartender interacts with that. You're listening to the Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:25.
Floors, walls, and lighting. The Restaurant Guys learned long ago that the key to making a space look great are floors, walls, and lighting. There's no tougher test to a carpet than a busy restaurant. From design to installation to cleaning, the Gillespie Group has handled the Restaurant Guys restaurant floors for more than 10 years. Designers know what looks great on the first day. Bob Gillespie knows what will continue to look great year after year. Gillespie doesn't just install carpets. Their quality clean division has experience and expertise to keep that carpet looking great. In our business, it's the details that matter. In your home or office, the details make a lasting impression. The Gillespie Group handles projects from large hotels to offices right down to your living room. Look down. Go on, look down. Right there by your feet. You see. You need the Gillespie Group. Call them at 732-254-5508 or visit them at thegillespiegroup.com. Tell them the Restaurant Guys sent you and get a free cleaning with any installation. Remember, it's Gillespie for carpet and flooring, 732-254-5508.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to the Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis. We're talking with Dusan Zarek and Jason Kosmas, owners of Employees Only in Manhattan. We're talking about their book, You Didn't Hear It From Us, Two Bartenders Serve Women the Truth About Men, Making an Impression and Getting What You Want. You were saying, Dusan, before the break, that you teach your new bartenders that, yes, you have to have great drinks. Yes, you have to make drinks well. People think they're coming out for great food and great drink, but that's not what they're coming out for.
Or at least not the whole thing.
Do you teach them that what they're coming out looking for something to happen?
That's right.
How does the bartender facilitate that?
Well, when we wrote this book, we did a lot of research, and we did a lot of research with our bar customers and people who we know, and it turns out that only 15% of people were honest enough to admit that they're going out to meet somebody.
Really?
Okay. And the 85% of the rest was, you know, quoting things such as, I'm going out to sample the food, or I'm going out to...
To relax,
or so on and so on. Meaning people are going out to hunt for possibilities. The more possibilities a restaurant or a bar has, the more busy it will be, you know? And the possibilities apply to each person who hunts for them very subjectively.
Yeah, it could be, you know, something along the lines of like, oh, I saw somebody famous, or I made a business contact, I went home with somebody. It could be anything.
Yeah. So people are really out to kind of, you know, change the daily routine and to kind of find a different...
something exciting in their life.
Exactly.
I think also that bars have a great social utility, and I've argued this for a long time. Maybe it's from my Irish background, but I think that a bar is a great place where, and we have always run our bars as a place for people to come together as a locus of community for people you know, and a place for people to meet each other. And we're going to talk more with that about two of the owners of one of the best cocktail bars in New York City, Employees Only, who just written a book called You Didn't Hear It From Us, Two Bartenders Serve Women the Truth About Men, Making an Impression and Getting What You Want. You can find out about that on our website, restaurantguysradio.com. We'll be back after the news. Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:30.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You are listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal, and I'm here with Francis Schott. Together we own Stage Left and Catherine Lombardi Restaurants in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach us through restaurantguysradio.com or download our podcasts on iTunes.
Our guests today are Dusan Zarek and Jason Cosmas. They own Employees Only, the restaurant in New York City, and they're also authors of the book You Didn't Hear It From Us. We were talking before the break about, you know, bars is a locus of community. Bars is a place for people to come together. When you guys opened Employees Only, it was you envisioned it. You didn't realize it would be as successful as it was, and your thought, I understand, was that it would be staffed entirely by owners, so it would be employees only, and it was targeted at a specific community, the hospitality community, the restaurant community. Do you think that a bar has a place in society in forging a community and bringing people together?
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, I think that we've been fortunate, some of the places that we worked at, you see very similar people, and then moving to another restaurant, you see those same people sort of rolling again. And some people don't come in every day. Some people don't come in every week. Some people come in once a month. But it definitely is a sort of sense of community amongst people. People over the years, especially over the course of the last, I guess, 8 years that I've worked in New York, 9 years, I've seen people that haven't seen each other for 6 years, but I've seen them every other week or something.
Uh-huh. You know,
and also in history, you know, in this country, I mean, the bars play a significant role. In every town that the settlers founded, there had to be a tavern, because in a tavern that was the only place where the judge could like hold court, or you know, you could have a prison even, you know. So bars and taverns were like an important part of the history of this country since the beginning, you know, and this just plays out till the current day.
Well, you know, it's something that I think you guys have downplayed through the show, and I think that we need to discuss a little bit is, you know, we've talked about the bar as a place for people to come together and a place for people to talk about things and meet each other, but you guys have focused on something that you know, Francis and I have noticed that at the best places in New York right now, what you're using to get people together are some of the finest ingredients and finest cocktails and some really interesting food at the same time to do in order to do that.
You know, I'm thinking back, though. I think that bars got a bad rap for a long time, and bartenders were, you know, especially with chain restaurants. I mean, who cares who the bartender is at your Chi-Chi's or your Bennigan's? I'm sorry to say, but in places like yours and places like ours, I mean, I remember, Mark, I remember on September 11th. You know, you called me, and I was stuck in Jersey City, but you were down in our bar. And, you know, he told me all the people that came in and how it went and what happened there. And I remember, you know, we sadly lost a number of friends to AIDS shortly after we opened our first bar. And, you know, our bar was where we came after the funeral, sadly, four or five or six times. And many families who we've been close to, we've opened up the bar at 11 o'clock in the morning. And I think the bar is taking, in many serious communities, it can really be a valuable place where people come together, and, well, the bartender is an important part of that.
Dusan was talking about this, and I think it's especially when you start talking about a major city where you don't have homes with giant living rooms and places where people can come together. You know, you need a place where people can come together and talk about things.
Do people use your bar as their living room?
Well, some people use it as their playground
and their living room. Yeah.
All right. Now, the other reason people invite bartenders to parties often is because we have amusing stories, and thank God for all the people who do amusing things when they've had too much to drink, because that provides us with our amusing stories. Your book is about giving women the truth about men, and we've watched a lot of hookups in our lives, the two of you and the two of us, and I think there are some more stories that come out of that, and some of the most amusing are the train wreck stories. Do you have any stories to share with us of the just the wrong thing to do?
I mean, there's plenty of wrong things to do. Some I think are pretty unmentionable on the air, but even still, it's I've seen one thing that I saw recently. We had an office party, like a holiday type party. And sort of towards the end, everyone sort of fizzled out, and there were two people left. from the party. And you could tell there was something, there was some kind of budding office romance going on.
Music in the air, lots of loving everywhere, given
yeah,
the night.
And she was leaving, too. This was her last week.
Oh,
so now,
perfect.
It's all, everything's fair game.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at some point there's a little PDA going at the bar. They start making out at the bar. And I was actually speaking with one of the people that was involved with writing the book, and this was after the party, obviously. And she was sitting there, and she's like, oh, my God, they're totally going to go home together. And I looked at her. I said, no, he waited too long. I was like, what are you talking about? I was like, I give him 5 minutes, and she's going to look, and she's going to stare blankly at him and remember where she is. And sure enough, like 10 minutes later, he goes to lean in, and she kisses him on the cheek, and, you know, he's trying to put his hand on his leg, and she's kind of weaseling away. Not weaseling, but, you know, trying to scoot back a little bit.
And you as the bartender knew that 5 minutes earlier he should have said, let's go.
Hey, sometimes you got to close the deal.
You know what? You know what's, Dushan, you got any stories like that for us?
Yeah, well, you know, like, you see a lot of stuff, you know. And I work Monday nights and employees only behind the bar with one of our partners, Henry, who is the oldest bartender at employees only.
He's been bartending more years than I've been alive.
Yeah, exactly. And he's, like, been a focus point for us for a long time, and he's been, like, teaching us for a very, very long time about all these kind of wise aspects of living and working behind the bar. And, you know, he's been a great example for us as well. So I enjoy these Monday nights a lot. So when I work with him, a lot of stuff happens. So just recently, we watched a woman who we know come in, and, you know, after, you know, maybe half an hour, a guy shows up with another girl, and they're pretty tipsy. So the three of them are hanging out, and so the woman that we know steps outside for a moment to make a phone call, and I see that guy making out with the other girl, like, heavily.
Wow.
Really, really heavily. So I go out to have a cigarette. I meet the woman we know outside, and we're talking, and she's asking me, so what are the two of them doing over there? And I'm like, well, they're just making out. And she's like, what? He's my boyfriend. And I'm like, oh, I'm just joking.
You know what? You broke, Dushan, say, you're an authority on a lot, but there you did stumble. You made the mistake. You never answer a question like that.
I know, but I didn't know that they're together.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no. You know what?
And he sold him out.
Told him I never knew. Listen. I never knew that they were actually together, that this is her boyfriend. So, you know, sure enough, she walks in, she finds them entangled, and the whole drama breaks out, and Henry's yelling from the other side, look at that! Look at that! Drama!
Hey, listen, you make the faux pas of making out with another woman while your girlfriend is taking a cigarette break, you deserve what you get.
You know,
exactly.
And what we can all share, and we'll all know, and what we as bartenders all know, is when that stuff starts to go down, you just make sure that somebody pays the tab, because they can storm out in a huff if they want, as long as they've paid the tab.
That's a very, very good point. That's a great point.
You know,
usually the person who's last there is the worst off.
Yeah, no, well, exactly. But you know what? As long as they pay the tab, and I feel bad for your pain, sir, but give me the money. You know what I'm saying? You know, most of my great stories happened well in the past in that regard, because this doesn't seem to happen anymore, and I'm really glad. But I guess we started bartending in the mid-'80s. And we were next to a hotel. I was bartending at this place next to a hotel.
I started in the late 80s, Francis. You're older than I am.
Well, we used to get a lot of the, and Jason, you know where I used to bartend in New Brunswick. And we would get a number of the guys who were having an affair would bring their mistress in for lunch, and sometimes on the same evening, their wife in for dinner, and you would have to pretend like you hadn't seen them in a long time.
Oh, you know, we had the same experience, because
that happens a lot.
Isn't it horrible? Don't you feel bad? Don't you feel a little slimy when you do it though?
Well,
like, I haven't seen you in a long time. How's everything since 3 o'clock when you left?
No, because see, like, our job is to act as if all the time. You know, I mean, you are not you. You know.
Yeah.
You are this character that is working behind the bar, and you're like this face. So this should not be confused with who you are, I think. So we see these kinds of things all the time. I feel bad for these people. I really do. I mean, to live such lives and to have so much suffering in your life, to have to go through all this stuff, it must be pretty terrible.
Well, it must be pretty terrible if you don't have enough creativity to go to a different bar with your mistress. You know what I mean? There are lots of bars in the world.
Lots of cool places.
So we have to take a short break. We'll be right back talking with Dusan Zarek and Jason Cosmas about their book, You Didn't Hear It From Us. Central Jersey 1450 time is 11:45.
Let me talk to you about lighting, and specifically about how you can enhance the appeal of any space. Lighting is a powerful, emotional, and aesthetic force. It's one of the most important elements of design. More than anything else, it sets the mood and tone for an entire experience. A room pops or it doesn't, based on lighting. Lights on 9 is a top-notch commercial and retail lighting supplier. Lights on 9 supplied all the lights for our award-winning Catherine Lombardi restaurant, inside and out, dining room and kitchen. Lights on 9 has everything from tasteful and stylish chandeliers to table and floor lamps to outdoor lighting for illuminating a building or walkway or a sign. At Lights on 9, the service is exemplary, expert, and knowledgeable. They ship anywhere in the continental United States for free. Their retail store is in the Galleria Shopping Center on Route 9 in Manalapan. They're open 7 days a week. Call them at 732-308-9166. That's 732-308-9166. Or visit them at lightson9.com. That's lightson9.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to the Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis of Stage Left at Catherine Lombardi Restaurants. We're talking with Dusan Zarek and Jason Cosmas, owners of one of our favorite bars in Manhattan, the Restaurant Employees Only. They're also authors of You Didn't Hear It From Us, Two Bartenders Serve Women the Truth About Men, Making an Impression and Getting What You Want.
So, Jason and Dusan, I just want to, you know, everybody loves the bartender. The bartender is kind of, it's the best job in the world. Everybody looks up, respects the bartender. The bartender is suddenly more handsome than he is when he's not the bartender.
Especially four cocktails in.
Well, regardless of that, what do you think the appeal is to the bartender? Because it's got to be more than just the possibility of free drinks.
Well, I mean, obviously there's... There is the fact that we have the goodies and we have control of the goodies. It's different than if you're a server and you're waiting on a table where obviously you're requesting it, they go, they get it, and they bring it. When you approach a bartender, they are it. They mm-hmm. are the guardians and the keepers of what you want.
It's like as if you ask the chef for food.
Yeah, you know, pretty much. So in that respect, it sort of falls in that line. And then the other thing too, and this is something that a woman told me one time, which I thought was very interesting. She pointed at me and she goes, you know, you have that front man rock mentality. And I was like, or persona. And I said, no, I don't. I'm just a simple boy from a small village in New Jersey. I don't know what you're talking about. And she's like, no, it doesn't matter what you think about yourself. It matters what people think of you when they walk in the door, the way that they perceive you.
Yeah. And Henry Kissinger said it himself. I mean, power is the greatest aphrodisiac. And, you know, behind the bar, when you're behind the bar, you are in a position of power. You are there to, you know, direct the flow of possibilities, and, you know, you are actually the MC of the whole thing. So you are in charge. And, you know, people very unconsciously respond to this.
Yeah, I mean, I always found it amusing that a woman who might not otherwise give me the time of day was interested in talking to me when I was the bartender.
I always found it interesting that any woman was interested in talking to you.
No, it definitely is a phenomenon. And I think that, you know, bartenders in general, and you know what it comes down to, what we teach our bartenders, it really boils down to confidence.
Mm-hmm.
There are kind of three aspects that people expect you to sort of be, and one is this sort of like alchemist who can make any drink together. So you have to know all these like walking encyclopedia of recipes, you know. And the other one, the other aspect too, is this that sort of rock star, the person that's having a good time, that's always having a good time, no matter what. There's that, and that, I mean, that's sort of a confidence thing too. And then the last one too, I mean, you know, as a bartender, how many times, like, if people don't remember them, they're like, oh, what's the movie with?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like they always come to you and they ask you for the information, and you're always supposed to know it. Like, you're never not,
you know,
a bartender, you're never really supposed to err.
You know, but you know what? 9 times out of 10, we know it, and yeah. I'm still not sure why. Because if I were on the other side of the bar, I'd be asking the question.
You know,
no, it's true. Hey, you know, when I was single and I was behind the bar, I was great with the women. You put me on the other side, I'm like Samson without the hair.
Yeah. It is funny. It does add a certain level of confidence. I'll tell you something though. with bartenders, especially, and I, you know, take the romance aspect of it aside, I like going to a bar with a great bartender. You know, there's a powerful presence. It's somebody who's in charge. It's someone who's your host, and that's what you go out to be hosted, and that's part of the hospitality at a bar. But you've also got to get it right. When the bartender doesn't know what he's doing, or he screws something up, he doesn't make a good drink, he's inattentive, it's like it's a huge letdown. And yeah, more so of a letdown than when you have a bad waiter in a restaurant, don't you think?
No, absolutely. You know, and that's the thing, too, and what Dushan was saying before, as far as, like, being in the movie but not really being a part of it, it's a lot of young guys that we've seen, we've talked about, and, of course, we've made the same mistakes, so, but we always try to tell them that all these, you know, talking about the possibilities, these are for the customers.
Yeah.
Not for you.
Right.
And I'm sure you've seen, too, all these young kids, and they're kind of like, they're like dogs in a cage, like jumping up and down. And especially with the pretty girls.
Dogs in a cage.
Stay in the cage. But the rule is...
These are the guys that don't laugh.
Yeah. No, they don't. Because the two girls that they went with the week before and last week show up at the same night at the bar, and then you've lost two customers and the game is over.
That's right. And you have to leave through the back door.
Exactly. Now, you know, I always remember when I look at when I think about, you know, the social standing, what really got me thinking about the social standing of a bartender and what role a bartender can play behind the bar. Was, I mean, we have a mutual friend in Dale DeGroff, who's a great bartender, who bartended at the Rainbow Room through the 80s, and from the late 80s through the 90s. And I remember sitting at Dale's bar, and, you know, some of the most powerful men in the world, you know, mayors and captains of industry, would come into that bar, and they'd be like, "Hi, Dale." And you could see in their face that they really, it was important to them that Dale remember their name and what they drank. And I thought, are you kidding me? You're the head of General Motors. What do you care what Dale DeGroff thinks? But they did. And that was the surest sign of it. I mean, do you see what I'm talking about?
Oh, no, absolutely. And you know what? It is true, exactly what you're saying. One of the my first bartending gig was in your area,
mm-hmm.
and I was in Bridgewater, New Jersey, actually, and it was a kind of a blue collar bar, and we had this one guy who came in, and he was he owned a security company or something, like he had security guards and things, and he would come in and he would sort of hold court, but he was usually the first one. He'd roll in around 4:30. He had his one chair that he always sat in. He always drank Dewars on the Rocks, and he would come in and. The one, every day, you know, I'd go up to him and say, "Okay, so what are you having to drink?" And he's looking at me like I'm an idiot, being like, "Dewars on the Rocks." And I'm like,
"Again."
Okay. So finally, you know, I caught on. I see him walking up. I can see him through the window coming from his car. So I knew where he sat. I put his Dewars on the Rocks right in his seat. And he walked in, didn't say a word, sat down, picked it up. He took a sip. He put the glass down slowly. Snapped his fingers at me. He goes, "Now, kid, you're learning."
Can I tell you, I got a regular customer who you may know who comes in all the time, and he drinks Johnny Walker Red and Water. Been drinking the same drink for 20 years that I've been bartending, and every time he walks in, I say, "So what'll it be, a whiskey sour?" All the time. Now he started to say yes. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back with Jason Cosmas and Dushan Zarek of Employees Only. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:55. Hey everybody, welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis, stage left at Captain Lombardi in downtown New Brunswick. We're talking with Dushan Zarek and Jason Cosmas about their book. You didn't hear it from us. You can find out about it and actually order it on our website, restaurantguysradio.com. Dushan and Jason are also two of the owners of Employees Only, one of our favorite cocktail bars in Manhattan. We have this week in for the holidays and the cold weather. We've just thrown a Tom and Jerry back on our bar, guys, for the our holiday offering.
For the winter.
Can you got a recipe for us for a holiday drink we can use? Something that we can recommend to our listeners?
This is one that we're going to put on the menu now. It's pretty simple to make, and it's just a really wonderfully rich cocktail, especially for this time of year. And it uses blood oranges,
uh-huh.
which are in season right now. They just came into season. And what you do is basically if it's a smaller blood orange, cut it in half. Cut it into quarters, almost like if you're doing like a caipirinha or mojito type thing. Put it into your mixing glass, and then it just has about a teaspoon of bar sugar, about an ounce of fresh lime juice, 2 ounces of Grand Marnier, some bitters, and you muddle the whole thing up, add ice, shake it, serve it over ice. and it's called The Grand Fashioned.
The Grand Fashioned.
Very nice.
We're going to have that on our website, and so you can check it out yourself, or you should go to Employees Only in Manhattan and have a drink and have them make
it. Guys, I feel a little badly. We spent so much time regaling our listeners with bar stories and bartender stories that we didn't really talk about what a wonderful place Employees Only is and what a cool place it is and how really good the cocktails are.
Thank you very much.
That's because we don't want too many people to go there, and then we can't get in. Anyway, you can find out links to their book, to their bar, and that recipe on our website, restaurantguysradio.com. Dushan and Jason, thanks for being with us. I hope you've enjoyed it.
Thank you so much, guys.
And you out there in listener land, we hope you've enjoyed the hour. I'm Francis Schott.
And I'm Mark Pascal.
We are the Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 12 noon.